blessing. You know, this morning is we were doing the worship service. Two brothers seem to have copied my notes, and they read from Ephesians chapter 1. And today, that's where we're going to be discussing. So turn with me, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 1. Now, how long do I have?
3-4 hours.
Usually I can't go that long, but I will endeavor to end at a reasonable time. I have lots of notes, because I always have more notes than I need. So bear with me. Ephesians chapter 1. Is there a little light up here? No?
No.
That's okay. I guess I'm getting a little older. So the guy who said I didn't look that old. I guess I'm getting a little older because I need more bright lights. So Ephesians chapter 1, we're reading from verse 1 just for a moment. Paul, the apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be unto you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Verse 4, according as he had chosen us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us into the adoption of children by Christ Jesus to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of his glory and his grace, wherein he had made us accepted, in the beloved, in whom we have redemption through the blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded towards us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he had purposed in himself. Verse 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one, all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth. I'm going to stop there. And I want to bring you greetings from Grace Gospel Chapel South, as you guys call us, and from the saints there. It is always a pleasure to visit other assemblies. You know, it doesn't matter where you go. Because we know the Lord Jesus Christ, we're brothers and sisters. It doesn't matter if I'm meeting you for the first time. It doesn't matter if I met you a long time ago and forget who you are. We are all brothers in Christ. And so it's indeed a joy to be able to visit with other saints from different places. So thank you for having me today. I'm going to pause just for a moment just to ask the Lord's blessing on our reading of his word. We're going to actually be looking in chapter 1 and chapter 2. I'm not going to read all of it. Because as I'm going through the points that I want to make, you will get to read. Let's pray. Father, in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to say thank you. Thank you for allowing me this privilege to open your word. And thank you for the confirmation of the Holy Spirit that this is where you want us to be today. And so, Lord God, we just pray that you will hide your servant behind the cross. Let nothing of me be seen, but Lord, let you and you alone be seen. And Lord, I pray for the saints that are here, that your blessings will be upon them. And Lord, peradventure, there is anyone here today who do not know you as Lord and Savior. We pray that they'll surrender their lives to you before it's totally too late. Bless our time together. Bless the word to us now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. This book, this epistle that Paul wrote, I believe one of his best. You have your opinion. You should hold on to it how you like. The epistle of Ephesians is a complete body of the divinity of Christ. In the first chapter, you have the doctrine of the gospel. In the next, you have the experience of the Christians. Before the epistle is finished, we have the precept of Christian faith. Whoever would see Christianity as one of these treaties, let him read, mark, learn, and inward digest the epistle to the Ephesians. And Spurgeon wrote that. I didn't write it, so I'm not taking credit. So Dr. Spurgeon, Charles Haddon Spurgeon, wrote that. All right. Now, we're going to be talking about the believer's position in grace. And we're going to highlight a few things from the scripture. We're going to look at the work of the triune God on behalf of the believers, the work of God, the Son, the mystery of his will, the work of the Holy Spirit, Paul's prayer in light of the ultimate plan and the work of the triune God. Paul prayed that they would know God. Paul prayed that they would understand everything God gave them in Jesus Christ. And then a description of the great power of God that Paul wants the Christians at Ephesus and us to know, and where the great power has placed Jesus. So those are the things that we'll highlight. I might not get through all of them, but if we do, it will be a blessing to all of us. So the work of the triune God on behalf of the believers. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Now, some of the translation doesn't have heavenly places. They have the heavenlies. Doesn't really matter. It's still the same effect. Blessed be God. Now, Paul is sending a blessing to God because of what he has done for us. Paul called for a blessing upon the Father in the sense of recognizing God's glory and honor and goodness, because the Father has already blessed the believers with every spiritual blessings in the heavenlies. Now, I want you to think about that for a moment. Have you ever considered that when you have an issue in your life, whatever it might be, whether it be a medical issue, financial issue, whatever the issue might be, have you ever considered when you do not trust God, you are not receiving your heavenly blessings? Because you doubt the God who says, "I will be with you wherever you go." Worship requires us to give back to our Savior the blessings that he has bestowed upon us. And the worship doesn't start on a Sunday morning when we come. It starts right after we finish that worship service. Because as we are culminating, as we're looking at, and as we're seeing the many blessings the Lord has bestowed upon us, it leads our heart to worship. Now, some of us, sometimes we cry and we fret and we worry. I know some people that are really serious worrywarts. And I said, "How can you say you trust God, but you worry so much?" I know during COVID, there was a lot of fear, a lot of worries. People were concerned and people were worrying about all these different things. But I give you one quick note. None of us, save for the trumpet of God, is getting out of here alive. We're not. See, everybody wants to go to heaven, but nobody wants to die. Death is not a bad thing, because our Savior conquered hell, death, and the grave. So don't be afraid. You're not ready to live until you understand the fact that you must die. That's when you really start to live. When you recognize that death is a part of the reality of life. We don't groan and we don't cry, we don't fret. We shouldn't as Christians. Because God has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. So if you didn't know that before today, now you know it. If you're a warrior, stop. Because you're not glorifying God when you worry. Nothing is too hard for God. You know, I love And then I am Mishael and Azariah, a.k.a. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. For those of you who learn those names, I like to call their Hebrew names, because those are their real names. I love their story because when the king said, listen, if you bow, I'll let you live. But they said, listen, king, I'm sorry. We are not going to compromise. We're not going to bow. You can go ahead and just throw us in the fire now. Because our God who we serve is able to deliver. And if he does not deliver us, guess what? It's still glory. God knows day one. God knows the end. In the middle is what we're responsible for, that dash. Live our lives to glorify him. We live our lives to glorify God. Not to be concerned about the situations that are around us. You know, there are so many situations around us. So many things happening in politics and in government. So many things. But we don't have to worry about all that. We have a God who wants us to experience the fullness of joy in him and him alone. Spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. I want you to underline in your Bible, in Christ. In Christ. Because it's all in Christ. Without Christ, it would be nothing. Think about what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. Think about his role that he played. He left heaven's glory. He came to earth. You know, there are many questions about why God loves us so. It's difficult to answer in some cases, but in some cases, it's easy. Because sometimes you look for a difficult answer in an easy situation. It's easy why God loves us, because God is the one who designs us. He made us in his image. When we were vile and wretched, God knows that. But he still loves you. John 3:16 is the clearest message of all. For God so loved me. For God so loved you that he gave his only begotten son, that if you and I believe, we will not perish, but experience eternal life. As we're going further, he says, we were predestined unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. I want you to underline in that verse 5, by Jesus Christ. And it says, to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. Not our will. We don't deserve it. But God chose us in Christ Jesus, by Christ Jesus, to himself. That is a very good position to be in. What do we have to worry about? What do we have to worry about? What do we have to be concerned about? When we see evil around us, what do? Do you call the politicians? You call the police? What do? You see, the scripture tells us that if my people that are called by my name would humble themselves and pray, then God will hear from heaven and heal our land. The first place that we need to go is to the altar of prayer. And pray for our nation. Pray for our politicians. I know sometimes it's difficult for us because we might not like our politicians' policies. But that's not what God is saying to us. He's saying that we need to pray for them. Pray for our leaders. That's your commandment, to pray for those leaders, even if you don't like their policies. Because guess what? God placed them there. God set up kings and he takes them down. No politician is in power because he put himself there. God allowed him to be there. And sometimes we need a lesson. That's why we get bad politicians sometimes, because we're not listening to what God is saying to us. Jesus Christ has chosen us unto himself. Our possession of every spiritual blessing is as certain as our being chosen by Him and before the foundation of the world. The purpose of light is not to cast shadow, but to guide our steps. You know, I like to ask people the question, what is the opposite of darkness? Or what is the opposite of light? And they say darkness, but I want to submit to you it's not. The opposite of darkness is not light, and the opposite of light is not darkness. What light does is dispels the darkness. Light dispels the darkness. And we are the light of the world, the scripture declares. So we who are the light of the world must dispel the darkness. That is what we've been called to do. And we can't dispel the darkness if we are afraid. We will dispel the darkness when we get on our knees and pray. The light of God selects, gives us an assurance to the permanence of His plan and His love towards us. The reason for God's choosing us is not capricious, nor are they random. Though they are past out finding out, we know that they are altogether wise and good. But the reasons are all in Him, not in us. Not in us. It's not because we're good why God chose us. It's because He chose us because He, God, is good. His choosing is according to His good pleasure and for Him. Verse 12 says that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ. Now, you know, there's a term that I think sometimes in Christian circles we don't like to use, and the term is holy. And the other term is, there's another one, saints. Because, you know, we all look at ourselves and say, we're not saints. But you are. You are. You see, it's not because you deserve the title. It is not because you deserve anything. But it because God declared you that. You are a child of the King. And think about it for a moment. Think about it for a moment. When we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we weren't adopted. We were placed into that family with the same rights and benefits of every Christian that came before us. We were placed. We were not adopted. We weren't given a different name. We were become saints, children of the living God. You know, sometimes when you see a blended family, that adopted family, you can tell the difference, you know, that this child was adopted and that child was adopted. And in Christianity, there is no difference. We all have the same benefits. We shall reign with who? With Christ. Think about that for a moment. We shall reign with the member of the triune Godhead. Because we're now part of the family of God. Why is it that sometimes Christians don't experience fully, some Christians anyway, the benefits of being born again? It's because they're looking at themselves. Can't look at ourselves. I don't compare myself to anyone. I look to Christ. See, when you look to Christ and when you communicate and commune with Him, you know, you could be driving down the street and communing with God. Please don't close your eyes. Because when your mind is fixed on the Lord, you will do the things that the Lord asks you to do or directs you to do. Some of us don't do anything. We just show up on a Sunday morning and we go home. We don't help to clean. We don't help to set up. We don't do anything. We just come and sit down and experience the blessings of God. I got to say one thing. And don't beat up Andrew. Andrew said, before pandemic, we used to have fellowship downstairs, you know, snacks, coffee, whatever. But since pandemic, we haven't done it. I'm going to say to you, go back to doing that. Because guess what? It's fellowship. Because you know what? You don't see each other every day, except if you live together in the same house or in the neighborhood. You see each other maybe once a week or twice a week. But fellowship is important in the body of Christ. We need fellowship. We need one another. Scripture says, iron sharpened iron. So remember, you're not adopted. You have been placed into the family of God. I know the scripture says, having predestined us to adoption as son. But you see, when you become adopted as a son, you are now placed into the family. So don't get me wrong, I'm not discounting that part of scriptures. But you are now a member of the family. And you don't carry that adopted term. You are now a son or a daughter of Christ by Christ Jesus himself. So in Romans law, it says, adoption was complete. It was complete indeed. The person who has been adopted had all the rights of a legitimate son in the new family and completely lost all rights in his old family. Aren't you glad you lost all the rights in the old family when you were a sinner heading for hell and destruction? And now you are a saint heading for glory. I mean, what a difference. What a transformation. You know, sometimes I it's hard to understand how we cannot see some of these benefits that God has given to us as believers. I rejoice when I'm driving down the highway. Sorry, somebody cuts me off. I just pray, Lord, take them to their destination safely. Because the way they're driving, they might not. So I just pray for them. And that's what we ought to be doing. We are the people that can change a nation. Do you believe that? Do you believe that by your faith, by your prayer, we can change a nation? America is so far away from God, we need to be praying. Probably 24/7. This country. We're in a high position. So the next one is the work of God, the Son. In him also we have redemption through his blood. The hymn is the beloved of Ephesians chapter 1 verse 6. In him we have redemption and nowhere else. There is no possible redemption outside of Jesus and his redeeming blood. I was in New York City recently, and there's a cemetery down there where the Hasidic Jews had bought out, well, they owned the cemetery. And one of their rabbis, who they believe was the Messiah, died maybe 10 years ago. And they're still waiting for him to come back from the dead. I really wanted to go over there and tell them that he's not coming back. The Messiah has already come. And he'll come again on the second advent. But if I went over there and did that, I probably would not be here today. But let's pray for those folks who are lost, really. Looking for a man to return, but Christ already came, and they rejected him. We're thankful to God that we were accepted. Redemption always implies a price being paid. And we know the price of the Lord Jesus Christ paid, his precious blood. Now, there'll be no redemption without the blood of Jesus Christ. No redemption without his blood. Now, I know sometimes people, you know, say that's gross, and, you know, maybe kids even, that's gross. But it wasn't the physical blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. It was the fact that he laid down his life that we have redemption. Thank you, brother. So you know what he's just saying right there? I'm a dry speaker, I need water. According to the riches of his grace. It's by his grace why the blood was applied to our heart. Redemption and forgiveness given to us comes according to the measure of the riches of his grace. Grace is, to us, is it's undeserving. We don't deserve grace. You can't say, I deserve grace. You can't stamp your feet and shout, I deserve grace. We don't deserve it. What we deserve was death, hell, and destruction. But God sent his son to take that away from us and give us his grace. And so this morning we can rejoice in the fact that we have the grace of God that leads us to repentance. We move on. Time is going. The mystery of his will. Having made known unto us the mystery of his will. And of course, mystery is just basically something that was hidden that is now revealed. Right? Nothing mysterious about it. God's great plan and purpose, which was once hidden, but is now revealed to us in Jesus Christ. Through the Apostle Paul, God called us to consider the greatness of God's great plan for the ages and our place in that plan. You know, I read in John, it says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he the authority, the power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And we were brought into that place of righteousness because his people rejected him. Verse 10 says, that he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth. In him, God's ultimate plan is to bring together, to ultimately resolve all things in Christ, either through Christ as the Savior or Jesus as the judge. He will happen in the fullness of time. You know, we see people living their lives, going about doing this and doing that, and we wonder, when are they gonna face their punishment? It is coming. It is coming. You know, I don't know about you, but I kind of like to, when I wake up in the morning, kind of listen out, look out, because guess what I'm listening out and looking out for? That trumpet. You ever hear a trumpet play? That thing is loud, isn't it? I mean, if you got a problem hearing now, when that trumpet sound, you won't have any problem hearing it. Because when that trumpet sound, I tell you what, man, we're going to be caught up. Think about all those Christians that are flying airplanes. And the door is locked now. Nobody can see in the cockpit, right? And that plane is on autopilot. When it comes time to land, they're like, call the co-captain. Nobody answering. Planes are going to crash because when that trumpet sound, all the Christians are going to be caught up with the dead in Christ. And we who are alive and remain, he says, shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. It's going to be mass chaos. You think there's chaos in the world now? Oh, goodness. Wait till that trumpet sound. You know, some people in their religion think that, y'all, we're going to be here during the tribulation. And I tell you one thing, nowhere in the scriptures did I read that. We are going to be caught up with that first load. If you're waiting for the second load, good luck. I'm gone. Okay? We're gone. No longer to be here to be with our Savior. You know, we're looking forward to that day. I don't know about you. I'm looking forward to be at the feet of Jesus, just worshiping him and glorifying his name. In the fullness of time, when the time is right, the consummation of his purpose in his providential overruling of the course of the world, that consummation will be realized. So when God's time is right, it will happen. And we just need to trust him. God is in control. Don't forget that. There's a song that I love to sing. It's a chorus. It says, cheer up, ye saints of God. Nothing to worry about. Nothing to make you feel afraid. Nothing to make you doubt. Remember, Jesus never fails. So why not trust him and shout? He'll be sorry you wore your tall tomorrow morning. There's no need to worry. We have no need to worry. We have a God who knows intricately every detail of our lives. Every detail. Nothing hid from him. I'm going to jump a little bit. Jump over a few things. Because I want to get this piece in before our time is up. Oh, goodness. Time goes by so fast. Chapter 2.
And you hath he quickened, verse 1, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also you had your conversation in time past, in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And in verse 4, I want you to highlight this part, but God. Highlight that. Highlight that in your Bible. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, hath quickened us together with Christ. I want you to underline that as well. By grace ye are saved. And I'm going to jump to a few more verses. Verse 6 says, and he hath raised us up together to make us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ. Underline that, in Christ Jesus. That in the age to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Underline that in your Bible. And then verse 10, for we are his workmanship created in Christ, in Christ Jesus, unto good works, underline in Christ Jesus, which he had before ordained that we should walk in them. And verse 13 says, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes afar off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. I want you to highlight those, and I want you to take a look at them later when you've got some time, because everything is in Christ Jesus. You know, one thing, as I was going through this study, I recognized is that as a preacher, our job is not just to preach, but we all to be praying. And not just praying, but last evening as I was studying, I didn't know the name of the assembly. So I asked Beverly, what is the name of your assembly? She said, Bellevue. I said, listen, I am going to be praying for Bellevue Assembly prior to me coming here, because I needed to make sure that the Lord has your heart ready to hear what he has to say. And so as a preacher, that is our job, to pray. Not just to preach, but to pray for the assembly that we are visiting. And so I'm thankful that I was able to get the name. And now that I'm here, I won't forget it, because because it was a good experience being here and sharing the word of God with you. Now, my time is kind of gone, but before I go, I want to do one thing for you. Is there anyone here today who do not know the Lord and Savior? If you're here, honestly, just raise your hands and just let me see by show of hands. Anybody here who do not know the Lord? So praise the Lord. All of you know the Lord. So good. Could I borrow my piano player for a second? My piano player, I need you to play number 1 for me. That's a hymn that we don't sing a lot because it's a part of the book. Number 1. Number 1. Of course, yes, because it wasn't helping me anymore. It was going to help you. I'm not sure if it helps or not, but give it a chance. You got it?
Yep.
Now, I want all of you to take out your singing voices, because we're going to sing this lustily. Could you all stand, please? I think when you're standing, your lungs expand a little bit better.
How great thou art. hear the birds sing, singing in the trees. When I look down from lofty mountains grandeur, and hear the brook and feel the gentle breeze, then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. And when I think that God his Son not fearing sent him to die, I scarce can take it in that on the cross my burden gladly bearing, he bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to me. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art.
Here's a good one.
When Christ shall come, which shall the acclamation, and take me home, what joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration, and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art.
Come on with me now.
Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art, how great thou art. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art.
Thank you for staying with me.
Amen.
Just one more comment, and I'm just going to close in prayer. Billy Graham says, life without God is like an unsharpened pencil. It has no point. We experience the blessings of God in our lives every day. And our job as children of the King is to share those with those who are lost in sin. We start by praying for them, and then we share with them the Word of God. Even if it's just a tract that we hand to them, or just something through a quote. But our job is to bring the Lord Jesus Christ to a dying world. And our world is dying. We need Christians to pray more than ever for this dying world. Let's close in prayer. Righteous Heavenly Father, in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, we say thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to open your word. And Lord, as we're looking at our world and we see the destruction and we see the corruption and all these different things that are happening around us, they have turned the lie of the devil and try to make it into truth. Lord, as we read in Romans chapter 1, sin is abounding all over and around us. But Lord, we know that your grace is sufficient. And so, Lord God, we're asking that you will allow us, those who know you, to have boldness of speech, to make known the mystery of the gospel of peace to those that are lost in sin. And Lord, may we share that love. May we truly pray for them. And Lord, as we separate now one from another, we ask, Lord, that you will just dismiss us with your richest blessings. Bring each and everyone home safely. And Lord, for the next meetings that are ahead, we pray your divine hand upon them. We also want to pray for those that are sick
among the assembly here. Lord, we pray that you will raise them up and just continue to help them to recognize that you are in full control. So, Master Healer, we ask your healing upon each and every one today. And bless us now and dismiss us with your richest blessings. We say thank you in Jesus' name. Thank you so much. God bless each and every one of you.
Thank you.
So we have a booth at the Altamont Fair this week. The Altamont is going to be a fair booth this week.
Okay. Oh, great. All right, so I'll pray that Lord will set some sinners.
All right. I mean, they don't have everything like that.